Imagine you're walking into this meticulously curated, like incredibly prestigious art gallery, right?
Okay, yeah, I could picture that.
You are surrounded by these breathtaking, totally bespoke sculptures. The lighting is just perfect. And if you look closely, you can actually see the artist's fingerprints left in the clay.
Oh, wow. So a really intimate creative space.
Exactly. It's a space built entirely for appreciation, for taking bold creative risks. And you're standing there taking it all in, and suddenly you hear this massive roaring diesel engine.
Uh-oh. That doesn't sound good.
No, it is not. A giant bulldozer just crashes right through the front doors of the gallery.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it starts indiscriminately plowing over these one-of-a-kind sculptures, just shattering them into dust. And the driver leans out the window, shrugs, and shouts, "Sorry, we need to clear this out to expand the gift shop."
Wow, that is quite the visual. But honestly, that violent collision between profound art and corporate expansion is exactly what we are unpacking today.
It really is.
We're looking at the very harsh operational realities that are currently dismantling one of the biggest entertainment ecosystems on the planet.
Yeah, and we have a singular, highly detailed investigative piece on the table today to guide us. It's a massive report from Teakken Game titled "The Xbox Autopsy: Corporate Restructuring and the Death of Diversity."
It is a phenomenal piece of journalism.
It really is. And our mission for this deep dive is to look past the carefully worded PR statements and really understand the structural surgery currently happening at Microsoft's Xbox division.
Right, because this affects everyone in the tech space.
Exactly. Because whether you actually play video games or not, this whole situation is a masterclass in what happens when the slow, super expensive process of making art just slams face first into Wall Street's absolute demand for quarterly profit margins.
Especially in the wake of a mega acquisition.
Yeah.
That changes the math entirely.
Oh, completely. Okay, let's unpack this because the stakes here, I mean, both human and operational, they are just staggering.
They really are. And to understand the sheer scale of the shockwave here, we have to look at the timeline established in mid-2026.
Right. Take us through it.
So on June 17th, there's this massive leak, and this was corroborated across both the financial and the tech press, so it's solid. It revealed that Microsoft is actively drafting plans to shutter, merge, or just straight up sell off several of its tier one first party development studios.
And just to be clear, we are talking about roughly 300 highly specialized developers suddenly facing massive layoffs or, the complete dissolution of their studios.
Yeah, 300 jobs on the line, and right now they're currently engaged in active emergency negotiations just to orchestrate some kind of exit strategy.
And we are not talking about underperforming, forgotten studios here either. The names on this kill list.
And that is the literal internal phrasing they use, by the way,
Yeah.
kill list.
Which is so grim. But the names on this list are the absolute pillars of prestige in the Xbox ecosystem. Like, you have Ninja Theory. This is the British studio that literally spent years consulting with neuroscientists to build that psychological masterpiece, Hellblade.
Right, incredibly highly regarded.
And you have Double Fine Productions, this legendary studio known for wildly inventive, quirky worlds like Psychonauts. And Compulsion Games is on there too.
Which is exactly where the timeline gets incredibly jarring, right?
It is absolute cognitive dissonance. I mean, think about this. Just over a week before this leak, on June 8th, Xbox held their massive Summer Games
Oh,
showcase.
right, the big hype event.
Yeah. And they put Compulsion Games center stage. They were heavily promoting Compulsion's upcoming title, South of Midnight,
Right.
showing off the stunning stop-motion style animation, just hyping it up to millions of viewers.
Right.
But meanwhile, behind closed doors, the executive team is actively putting that exact same studio on the chopping block. Like, how do those two realities even exist in the same building?
Well, it happens because the marketing department and the financial architects are operating on entirely different paradigms.
Yeah, clearly.
And to really understand that shift, we have to view this in historical context, this current sweep of closures. It's not a sudden, isolated panic.
No, it's a pattern.
Exactly. It is the continuation of a playbook that started back in May of 2024. That was when Microsoft abruptly closed Arkane Austin.
The team behind Prey.
Right. And they also closed Tango Gameworks, who made the incredibly beloved Hi-Fi Rush.
But wait, Hi-Fi Rush was universally praised? Like, Xbox executives literally gave interviews saying it was exactly the kind of breakout hit they wanted.
Oh, I remember. They loved the PR from it.
So if they are repeating this playbook, you know, doing it in 2024 and now repeating it with these new studios in 2026, that signals the rules of the game have fundamentally changed.
Absolutely.
The goalposts haven't just moved. They're playing a completely different sport entirely.
Precisely. Doing this repeatedly signals to the entire industry that Xbox is no longer operating under the philosophy of building a diverse experimental portfolio. The calculus has permanently changed.
So naturally, the question you have to ask is why? Why gut your most critically acclaimed, award-winning studios? What changed the math?
Right.
And to find that answer, we kind of have to transition away from the artistic loss and look at the cold, hard mathematics of it all. It really all comes back to this massive $75 billion weight around their neck.
The Activision Blizzard acquisition.
Exactly.
When you spend $75 billion to acquire a company, it completely reshapes the gravitational pull of your entire corporation.
I mean, how could it not? That's an astronomical amount of money.
Right. Every single division suddenly has to justify its existence against that massive capital expenditure. And the financial indicators, they explained exactly why the board of directors, led by CEO Satya Nadella, just pulled the emergency brake.
Let's actually look at those numbers, because they paint a very clear, very scary picture. Back in 2024, Xbox's operating profit margin was sitting at a decent, you know, 8 to 10%.
Which is healthy.
Yeah. But by mid-2026, that margin had plummeted down to a really dangerous 3%.
And you have to understand, a 3% net profit margin in the tech sector, that is effectively a siren blaring in the boardroom.
Really? Just complete panic?
Oh, yeah. Wall Street values tech companies based on massive growth and high margins. A 3% margin looks way more like a traditional low-margin hardware business, which investors absolutely despise.
And speaking of hardware, console sales are in a severe 31% year-over-year decline. People just aren't buying the physical Xbox hardware the way they used to.
The physical box is dying out.
Yeah. But the most alarming metric here is Game Pass itself. Game Pass was supposed to be the Netflix of gaming. The stated ambition was to hit 100 million subscribers. But the data shows subscriber growth has hit a total glass ceiling. It plateaued at 34.5 million.
Which is barely a blip in growth. Because 2 years prior, they were at 34 million. They essentially flatlined.
Wait, hold on. I'm just so confused here.
Okay.
Because they just dropped $75 billion to buy Activision Blizzard. They took massive industry-defining franchises like Call of Duty and Diablo and integrated them directly into the Game Pass ecosystem.
They did.
So how on earth did subscriber growth flatline after dropping a literal nuclear bomb of content like that onto the service?
Well, it really comes down to market saturation. There is a finite number of people willing to pay a monthly subscription fee for video games on a console or a high-end PC.
Right. You eventually just run out of gamers.
Exactly. Once you capture the hardcore audience, finding new subscribers becomes exponentially more difficult and way more expensive.
Yeah.
You can't just keep adding games and expect infinite growth because the limiting factor isn't the content.
It's the hardware install base.
Yeah.
And, well, just consumer time, right?
Right. You only have so many hours in a day.
Okay. So they have a stagnant subscriber base. But how does that directly lead to closing down a bespoke studio like Ninja Theory?
What's fascinating here is the fatal flaw of the Game Pass model when it comes to supporting what the industry calls A studios, those mid-tier, highly creative, narrative-driven developers.
Okay.
Think of Game Pass like an all-you-can-eat buffet.
Okay, I'm with you. Buffet.
When you build a bespoke, narrative-driven experience, something like Senua's Saga, Hellblade 2, that is like putting a gourmet $100 steak on the buffet line.
Oh, that's a great analogy.
It requires years of intense development and tens of millions of dollars to create. But because it is a linear story with a definitive beginning, middle, and end, a player consumes it exactly once.
Right. They have this incredible, profound, emotional experience, and then they leave the table?
Exactly. They beat the games, they put the controller down, it's an enclosed experience. And crucially, that steak lacks microtransactions.
Yeah.
It lacks live service mechanics. It doesn't generate continuous recurring revenue.
So it's a one and done for the balance sheet.
Right. On the other hand, live service games, you know, your massive multiplayer shooters or endless survival games, those are like endless bowls of pasta.
Cheap and filling.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're relatively cheap to maintain, and they keep the player sitting at the table day after day after day, buying cosmetic skins and seasonal battle passes.
So if your overall buffet subscriber growth has flatlined, you can no longer afford to serve the gourmet steak. You have to pivot entirely to the pasta just to maintain those profit margins.
That is the mechanical reality of a stagnating subscription service. The math just becomes impossible.
Wow. And if you look at Satya Nadella's recent earnings call, he actually said the quiet part out loud.
Oh, he really did.
He stated, quote, "Our entertainment division must transition into a self-sustaining business. We cannot subsidize it indefinitely."
Yeah.
The word subsidize is doing an incredible amount of heavy lifting there.
It implies that these narrative studios were essentially operating as a charity case from the broader Microsoft Corporation. They were being funded to create ecosystem value, you know, prestige, not direct standalone profit.
And there is this bitter, bitter irony embedded in that financial reality. Think about this. YouTube makes more money from people simply watching Xbox gameplay videos on their platform than Microsoft makes in net profit from actually selling those video games.
That stat is just, it's unbelievable.
It's wild.
But when you lay the mechanics out like that, you understand why the corporate executives are panicking. From an operational perspective, the economic architecture is structurally flawed.
So now that we understand the pressure, right, the 3% margins, the $75 billion debt, the plateaued subscribers, we can see how this mathematical reality triggered a massive ideological purge at the highest levels of Xbox leadership.
Yeah, because when a massive corporate ship violently changes course, the veteran commanders who resist the new heading are usually the first to go.
Right in the middle of these emergency studio negotiations, literally between June 15th when the leak started and June 17th, Craig Duncan abruptly resigns.
Which was a huge shock to the industry.
Massive. This is the head of Xbox Game Studios. He's a 15-year veteran of Microsoft who previously led the studio Rare to huge success. He only just took the top executive job in November 2024, and now he is out.
Right.
And his chief of staff, Louise O'Connor, she departs right alongside him.
Which leaves this massive power vacuum at the top. And that vacuum is immediately consolidated under the new gaming CEO, Asha Sharma.
And she brings a totally different vibe, right?
Oh, Sharma represents a completely different philosophy. She issued an internal memo to the staff promising a comprehensive 100-day factory reset.
That phrase, factory reset, is chilling, especially when you're talking about human beings and, you know, creative studios. What does a factory reset actually mean in corporate terms?
It generally means zero-based budgeting. It means looking at the organizational chart and literally erasing anything that doesn't clearly map to a direct, immediate return on investment.
Wow. Just cutting the fat.
Exactly. The memo stated, quote, "We will not succeed by hiding from brutal truths, nor by repeating the same actions, expecting different outcomes."
Which effectively marks the official death of the Phil Spencer era at Xbox.
I think so, yeah.
Because for years, Phil Spencer championed a diverse ecosystem. The entire pitch of Game Pass originally was that it would allow niche audiences to find unique content. They actively subsidized independent creative studios to build this rich library of varied genres. It was all about building a cultural brand.
But the new administration, under Asha Sharma and Satya Nadella, views the entire portfolio strictly through the lens of Silicon Valley efficiency. They demand immediate high margins.
Right.
And there is a crucial dynamic at play here. When the executives who believed in and protected creative risk-taking leave the company, those smaller studios instantly lose their armor.
They're totally exposed.
Suddenly, they are defenseless against corporate austerity measures.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though, because by making these specific moves, Microsoft is basically admitting they lost the Generation 9 console hardware war to Sony and Nintendo.
Yep, they're waving the white flag on hardware.
Because the legacy strategy for years was to use Game Pass and exclusive titles to drive hardware dominance. You sell the box, you trap them in the ecosystem, but with hardware sales down 31%, they are just abandoning the box. So how does that pivot change their corporate identity?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, Microsoft is actively mutating. They are transforming from a hardware ecosystem company into a massive third-party software publisher.
Meaning they don't actually care what piece of plastic you play the game on under your TV as long as you're buying their software.
Exactly. By taking their major AAA mega franchises, games like Call of Duty and Fallout, and putting them directly on rival consoles like the PlayStation 5, they are loudly declaring that maximizing software sales is way more important than brand exclusivity.
They need that Sony money. They need that PlayStation revenue to pay off the $75 billion Activision bill.
It is deeply ironic. I mean, Microsoft spent 20 years locked in a brutal console war against Sony, only to end up realizing their best financial move is to become Sony's biggest software supplier.
It's a complete 180.
But in that new paradigm, a 100-person studio spending 4 years crafting a beautifully linear narrative game like Hellblade is just classified on a spreadsheet as a loss-making liability.
Right.
So what happens to those studios now? With their executive shield gone, we are looking at a literal survival scenario.
They are currently navigating what analysts call the independence minefield.
Let's talk about the mechanics of that, because studios like Ninja Theory are desperately trying to execute management buyouts or MBOs, or they're seeking third-party buyers with deep pockets like Tencent or Amazon. How does an MBO actually work in this kind of emergency scenario?
Okay, so in a management buyout, the studio's leadership team pools their resources, often securing backing from private equity or venture capital to buy the company's equity back from the parent corporation. They are literally buying their own freedom.
Exactly. They buy themselves out.
But the reality of achieving that independence is incredibly grim. It's not just signing a paper and walking away into the sunset. To secure that capital and survive those first few months of independence, these studios have to drastically reduce their operational overhead,
Right, they have to become lean immediately.
which means they will likely have to lay off 30 to 50% of their development staff anyway.
So even in the best case scenario where the studio is quote unquote saved,
Yeah.
the human cost is immense.
Yeah.
And then there is the intellectual property crisis.
Oh, right, the IPs.
When a studio executes an MBO to leave Microsoft, Microsoft almost certainly retains the rights to the lucrative IPs.
Wow. So Ninja Theory might buy their freedom, but they leave Senua and the entire Hellblade universe behind in Microsoft's vault.
Pretty much.
They get to keep their desks and their computers, but they have to start entirely from scratch, building brand new franchises. And they have to do it in a market where venture capitalists are currently terrified of investing in mid-tier studios.
It is an incredibly bleak landscape for the creators on the ground. The broader industry's Fear and Greed Index currently marks developer sentiment at extreme fear.
I don't blame them.
Job security is at a decade low. We're seeing reports that managers at some of these endangered studios have unofficially told their employees to just start looking for new jobs now. Because if these buyout talks collapse, the studios will be permanently shuttered.
Which brings us to the absolute paradox of Wall Street. And honestly, this is the part that is so jarring to process.
Yeah.
While all this devastation is happening, while 300 artists are bracing to lose their livelihoods, and beloved studios are facing extinction, Microsoft stock, MSFT, actually surged 1.2% on Wall Street.
The market looked at the restructure and rewarded them for it.
Make this make sense to me. They are lighting their own creative pipeline on fire. They are gutting the very studios that give their brand prestige and critical acclaim. And Wall Street looks at that and says, "Great job. Here's a 1.2% stock bump." Like, are the investors completely blind to the long-term damage this does to the Xbox brand?
I mean, it's a stark reminder of how the market values efficiency over sentiment. Wall Street operates on quarterly horizons, not five-year artistic brand building.
Right. They just want the line to go up today.
Exactly.
Yeah.
To a gamer, an acclaimed studio is an invaluable cultural asset. But to a shareholder staring at a $75 billion acquisition bill, a studio without a recurring revenue model is simply a mathematical liability. By eliminating those loss-making assets, Microsoft is instantly improving its quarterly margins.
So the stock bump is just a mathematical reaction to reduced overhead.
That's all it is.
So what does this all mean? If you are listening to this right now and you're a gamer who invested your time and money into the Xbox ecosystem specifically because you loved those unique bespoke titles, or even if you're just a consumer who loved the golden age of cheap, highly varied subscription content on Game Pass, the verdict is clear. That era is rapidly coming to an end.
The economic realities of the subscription model are forcing a standardization of content. The future is fewer artistic risks and a heavy reliance on massive, endless, heavily monetized live service blockbusters.
The diverse library is being replaced by the necessity of the mega franchise.
It really is. And this raises an important question, which sits at the core of this entire autopsy. Paying $75 billion for a mega publisher forcefully taught Microsoft a very painful lesson. Churning out endless, monetizable content is a fundamentally different business than nurturing profound video game art.
It's pasta versus steak.
Exactly. You can't force the latter to behave like the former. And by eradicating the studios that serve as the creative beating heart of the brand, they might be greenlighting Satya Nadella's balance sheets today, but they are stripping Xbox of its defensible artistic identity for tomorrow.
Which leaves us with a lingering thought for you to ponder long after this deep dive ends. Think back to that art gallery we talked about at the beginning, the one getting plowed over for the gift shop.
Mm-hmm.
If the ultimate endpoint of these massive subscription models, whether we are talking about video games or streaming TV or any digital media, is that they inevitably become too expensive to support mid-tier experimental art, where will the next generation of visionary creators go to build their worlds?
That is the million-dollar question.
Have we inadvertently traded creative diversity for the convenience of a monthly fee?
A critical question for the future of all entertainment.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll catch you on the next one.